Blog Talk Radio.
So here's Joe Biden again this past week. He's given a speech, can't get through a single speech without saying something grotesque, horrible, or just a major faceplant. Here's Joe Biden talking about real segregationists and how, hey, you know what, wasn't too bad. At least we could have lunch with them together. It's real. Check this out.
In the old days when we had real segregationists like Eastland and Thurman and all those guys. But at least we end up eating lunch together.
Oh, I don't know, Joe. I don't know. I give up trying to understand this guy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I really do. Look at it. He was, hey, at least we could have lunch with those segregationists. Now, again, if a conservative, well, forget it. You already know that this country's obviously going down the tubes. Immediate. Where's, by the way, where's Bill McCarthy, the Denny's fact checker, said I stated something I never stated. Still hasn't taken his 100,000, by the way. Where's he on that? Is that a good idea, Bill? Are you going to do a fact check on that about real segregationists and Joe Biden's lunch? Are we going to check that out?
Of course.
Yeah, he's just going to be. Yeah. Here.
To anybody that wants one, unless they could find a reason to not issue it.
So in retaliation for that, Governor Hochul, Smiley Kathy.
Governor Jokel.
Yeah. Came up with these really, really bad, bad laws. And you know, they're definitely unconstitutional because they're so strict. Basically what they did was they made the whole state a gun-free zone. So I'm going to have a T-shirt made up that says, you've got a sign someplace that says you are allowed to carry within this establishment.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a T-shirt made up that says you are allowed to carry here and just wear it.
And there's a Facebook group out there. It's called Free NYS Now, Free NYS N-O-W. And somebody posted in there, I think he made up his own. I'm not even sure. But he made a, you know, like a flyer type of thing like that that people can print out and use. So pretty interesting. I should find that and put it on our website or whatever.
Facebook page.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much to recap what these laws are saying, and it is a law. They did pass this through legislation. This wasn't like an executive order or some more of her nonsense. They
called everybody back, and since the Democrats have a supermajority in both houses and they've got the governor's house, it went right through. There weren't even arguments.
Right, which is another way to lead into our show tonight about why we should get rid of New York City. But banning semi-automatic gun sales to people under the age of 21.
Now, wait a minute. That's unless you're 18 years old and you're enlisted. Then they don't sell you a gun. They give you a full automatic.
Right, and don't forget that you can't buy whipped cream if you're under the age of 21. So, banned body armor sales except to those in select professions. Don't forget the IRS. Sell it to them. Yeah.
Instead of those guys being armed with pencils and calculators, they're now armed with 40 Smith & Wessons and, you know, all sorts of deadly devices.
Yeah.
So,
Totally asinine.
Okay, next one.
And there's a whole agenda, as most of people that, you know, follow what's going on in the world don't live under a rock. They have an agenda with that whole IRS thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, requires micro-stamping for new semi-automatic guns. I haven't heard anything on how they're going to implement that yet.
Because, well, the technology doesn't exist.
I'm sure it exists. There's technology out there that exists that we have no idea about.
The gun companies say that the technology doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And what micro-stamping is, it's kind of like the serial numbers on diamonds that, you know, every legal diamond that's not a blood diamond has a serial number on it. You can only see it under the microscope. That's what micro-stamping is. It's somehow a little serial number that they're going to put on the firing pin so that they could track the gun from the expended case,
right,
rather than looking at the barrel and the grooves on the barrel the way it's been done for, you know, 80, 90, 100 years now.
Mm.
So, but according to the gun companies, that technology doesn't exist. So they're passing a law to do something that can't be done.
Right. And the last one is strengthening our red flag law. It's kind of interesting, since the shooting in Buffalo, and we mentioned this last week, I think.
Yep.
They passed these laws right after that shooting. It was within days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody just happened to appear in Buffalo within a couple of hours. I mean, it was a living miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was dressed up and suited up and down in Buffalo as quick as I don't know.
The fire ant
will bite you. So,
yeah.
And there hasn't been any mass shootings since then. Now, there's been shootings in New York and, you know, random acts of bail reform violence, but no mass shootings since they passed these laws. Interesting stuff. I mean, that's just a coincidence, you know.
And for those of you that don't know what the red flag law is, what the red flag law is kind of like a citizen's arrest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't like your neighbor, you tell him, hey, or you call the gun authority, whoever they may be, and you say, hey, the guy next door is a crazy man. He shouldn't own guns. Next thing you know, they're breaking down his door and taking all his guns away, and the guy could be a regular guy. You just don't like him because this dog crapped on your yard, whatever.
Right.
So that's what the red flag laws are. It's basically citizens turning citizens in because they think they shouldn't be allowed to have a gun.
Yeah. And they're just going to get worse as we get closer to the fake election time here. You know, things are starting to, the mud is slinging, it's starting to get really ugly, and then not just in New York, everywhere. I mean, some of the absolutely mind-scrambling things that are going on, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I think that I can't be, because I'm not easily fazed, I'm not the type of person that is easily fazed, and I just look at these things going, what is going on? Although, I did see an article today about a girl at a splash pad, I don't know where it was, that is using an alligator for emotional support animal. And I'm thinking, at some point, that may very well be me.
Yeah.
I'm going to use an alligator as an emotional support animal because the cats, they're just not cutting it anymore. You know, I got to get an alligator.
And this little girl had both of her feet and all of her toes. So
he must be just pretty, it's actually pretty kind of cool, actually.
Right.
So when we're talking about animals and we touch on base about the monkeypox and the CDC's new safe sex guidelines. So they're suggesting now, and this isn't a family show, thankfully, they're suggesting now for the safety of yourself and others that you should be masturbating together from a distance without touching each other and having virtual sex. So let's promote more pedophiling by having virtual sex. And so masturbating, so you should not touch each other and definitely don't touch any rash. This is literally on their website, people. You can go to it.
You know, what this reminds me of is those of you that are old enough to remember the Woody Allen movie Sleeper. And he woke up, you know, like 100 years in the future, and people didn't have sex anymore. You know, the government just impregnated women or whatever.
Oh.
And they had that orgasm ball or whatever they called it, and it was like a sphere that they'd hold on to and get off on it. So orgasmatron, I think, is what it was called.
Well, with the way they're trying to move everything virtual, you got to wonder. So then they go on to say, have virtual sex with no in-person contact. And if you don't believe me, you can go to their website and see this. It is on there. Consider having sex with your clothes on or covering areas where a rash is present. Leather or latex gear also provides a barrier to skin-to-skin contact. Just be sure to change your clean clothes and your gear before between partners.
Yeah, no more monogamy.
No more monogamy and after use. I mean, you got to be shitting me. This is the kind of stuff that these young kids can go and read. So the CDC, this is what they're promoting. But just like in New York State schools, let's teach third graders about anal sex, anal fisting, and how to masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not to mention CRT. So I just can't with some of this stuff. It is just out there.
So,
I mean, if you have some kind of sores on your scrotum, you probably should not be having sex anyway. So we're going to change the subject because I'm literally burning right now.
Well, suppose you wear Crocs, and you guys know what Crocs are, those plastic, like sandal.
Uncomfortable shoes, yeah.
Sandal kind of things. And they've got holes all over them. Suppose you wear them out in the sun, and all of a sudden you get all these red spots that are really sunburn on your feet. Are those the croc pox?
Is that supposed to be a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was a bad attempt at one.
So anyway, today I was at the farmer's buying some eggs, and of course the everything turned political. Now, I didn't realize this. One of the guys told me that at the farm that somewhere in the South China Sea, there's this island that 25% of one of the rare earths comes from. And there's pictures circulating around of six-year-olds that are mining this stuff. Everybody there is getting diseased. And guess who's going to buy this from China? Who's going to buy the whole island from China?
Hmm.
None other than Elon.
Well, I can't believe I literally just mentioned him. because I just was skimming an article about him making a partnership with Verizon. Oh, yeah. Everybody loves him. I don't trust him.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but I think he's working for the deep state, and he's going to be implementing a lot of these things because people love him so much, and then, you know, oh, Elon is this and Elon is that. I mean, I'm so tired of hearing about Tesla, I want to scream. But Elon Musk is announcing partnership to end cell phone dead zones in the U.S. SpaceX and T-Mobile on Thursday announced coverage above and beyond a plan to end cell phone dead spots worldwide via their partnership.
Mm.
So I guess we're all going to be spied on. Even in the dead spots now, you won't be able to get away with anything.
Yeah.
I can't. So I don't know. What else we got to catch up on?
Another Kathy Hochul. While campaigning for Lion Pat Ryan, Kathy Hochul outrageously said that Lee Zeldin, Mark Molinaro aren't real New Yorkers and should move to Florida.
Well, she said that about all the Republicans.
Right. And then a couple of days later, she said that about all the Republicans.
Yeah.
All the 5.2 million Republicans in the whole state should just leave.
Yeah. Well, I remember back a couple of years ago, many years ago, when Cuomo told everybody to leave the conservatives to leave the state, which, you know, at this point, I think it's up to maybe 1.3 million have left the state since COVID. So,
yeah, yeah. Andrew Cuomo said, if you're a gum-toting, Bible-thumping conservative, you're not a New Yorker and you should leave the state. So what they do, they all started leaving along with their money and their taxes.
Yep, c'est la vie.
Yep.
C'est la vie. I know too many people that are leaving, and it's sad. So anyway, you know, and is there any hope for New York State? Yeah, is there any hope for New York State? Because I see people screaming their asses off at rallies and voting for this person and campaigning for this person, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be campaigning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about the last 3 years, are we in a better spot than we were 3 years ago? Have these politicians ultimately helped us? I think there are some of them out there, and there are some of them that are running this year in New York that really do have their hearts in the right place. But what I'm saying is, are they really making a difference? Are you guys that are screaming on corners, while it's great for the camaraderie, and it is. I've met some wonderful people at rallies, but I'm just saying that shit ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
So, which leads us into our topic for tonight, which is a movement called Divide New York, and they have a website, which is divideny.org. And they have been on a mission, I guess it's 10 years
since,
now.
Since 8, 9 years.
8, 9 years.
2013, 2014.
Yeah, which, you know, I think it's got more momentum now than ever because people are sick of living under the tyranny and the thumb of Albany.
And New York City.
Right.
You know,
the legislators are in Albany, and most of those legislators are from New York City, and they control the roost.
You know, what happens is, you know, originally the state senate had one state senator per county, and about 100 years ago they decided, no, we'll just make the state senators represent twice as many people as the assemblymen.
Right.
Well, since New York City has half the population of the state, or pretty close to it, they've got half the assemblymen and half the senators. So, you know, in my opinion, unless we get the Senate back, and we're only a few votes away from, you know, a few senators away from getting the Senate back, even if we get the governorship, they still have a supermajority in both houses, and they could override any veto that he gives us.
Right.
So we need the governorship, and we need at least the Senate. We'll probably never get the assembly. That's 2-1.
Yeah, and it is great to think about having a new governor that's so gung-ho about everything. But like Dean just said, it doesn't matter. He can shit gold, and it's not going to matter because the legislators, you know, they control everything. So, which leads us into the divide movement. And what they want to do is they want to split the state into three autonomous regions.
Right. And we have the founder and the chairman of the board, John, we'll call him. If he wants to give his last name, he can. But, John, are you there? We've got you live.
Yep, and just other callers that are waiting, if you want to speak, you will have to press 1 to raise your hand to ask questions. And we do have some emails to answer, too. But, yes, we want to bring John on, who is the founder and the brains behind the bill.
Yes. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
You're on the show. You're live and nationwide.
Go ahead. You got
okay.
9 minutes. Commercial break.
Yep. So just give us a little bit of an idea of who you are, what Divide is, and before we get into the nitty and gritty of it, we go to a commercial break at 8 o'clock. You guys will hang tight, and then we'll come back. So just give us a quick synopsis of what Divide is.
Okay. It's a proposal. Splitting the state is a 150-year-old idea, and we researched it about 6-7 years ago. And we discovered the reason it never goes anywhere is Congress doesn't want to give the Northeast 2 more Senate seats. So that a new state requires. So we looked into alternatives, and what we came up with is fully autonomous regions. And that would allow the state to be split into 3.
So, and what are the 3 regions, John? The names of the 3 regions that were chosen.
New Amsterdam for upstate, Montauk for the suburbs of New York City, and New York for New York.
And you know, Montauk would also be Long Island.
Right.
Because originally...
Correct. It would be the suburbs, and it's basically the suburbs. It's Westchester, Rockland, Nassau, and Suffolk.
Okay. Yeah, because if I remember originally, there was to split the state into 2 regions, and Long Island was going to stay with New York City, and they were like, no, we don't want any part of them either.
Right.
So then it went to 3 regions.
Correct. That's when we went to 3 regions, yes.
And how do we get this done, John?
It requires an amendment to the state constitution, which means the legislature has to pass it twice, basically. They would have to... with an election of legislators in between. It only takes a simple majority to propose an amendment, but you do have to pass it twice with an election in between.
Okay.
The bill is currently in the legislature.
Yeah, it's definitely been. And that's a bill that Assemblyman Dave DiPietro sponsors. He's an assemblyman in Western New York. And then there's set a couple of, I don't know, I have the list
co-sponsors.
Somewhere. Yeah, there's co-sponsors in Senate and...
In the assembly.
Yeah. So I was just trying to find that, the people that are actually sponsoring it. I got to go back in my here. Pretty much, when we come back from commercial, what I want to do is go into the benefits and why should we divide? Benefits of dividing New York State into 3 regions. Because we get a lot of kickback for it. People will say, oh, it'll never happen. You know, that's a big one we can talk about. Oh, you know, she'll never sign it. There's no way that the new regions would want to give up their funding from New York State. So these are all questions that are...
Right, dude. And, you know,
right. Well, we did do the financials of it, and we wouldn't be losing much as way of funding. We have a whole thing that explains the financials on the website. Basically, what would happen is each region would be self-supporting. The boundaries were drawn so we could be. The pensions and a few other things would remain at the token state government level, which we have to have because we'd still be one state with autonomous regions. But the powers that the governor would have would be just a little bit more than the Queen of England. So, and the token state government is kept small by limiting its taxing power and transferring the taxing power to the regions.
Right. And just to discuss the regions, and then we're going to go to break, the New Amsterdam region would consist of the 45 upstate counties. The New York region would be 4 counties in the boroughs of New York City. And the Montauk region would be 4 counties, including Long Island. So, I mean, Long Island wants out of New York.
Correct. They've been trying to form a third state just for Long Island for a while now.
And unfortunately, like you said, forming a state requires congressional approval, which,
yeah,
it'd be hard enough to get New York State approval. So we definitely want
to have to get both New York State and congressional approval for a new state.
For them to give us those senators, everybody would have to agree to give Puerto Rico a couple of senators, give Washington, D.C. a couple of senators,
mm-hmm.
and there's pushes for that. But then, with our regions, the senators from, if we split the state into three states, the senators from Long Island and from Western New York would probably be conservative senators. So, those four senators would balance out the four senators for D.C. and Puerto Rico. But I don't think anybody would send more senators.
That would be true if we could split that way. That is a possibility, but we're trying for autonomous regions because we think that's the snail that's actually moving.
Yeah, and it is starting to move. So when we come back from commercial, we're going to talk to you guys about how this movement is starting to take its feet, and we're going to talk about the benefits of dividing. So I know we also have another Divide board member that's waiting with their hand up, Rich. We're going to bring him on after commercial. So hang tight, guys. We'll be back in 4 minutes. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We have to pay those sponsors. Thanks, guys.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics? Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers, and we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about. And you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad. Okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You're not my feeling, dum-dum.
Ay, ay, ay. Le Chupacabra! Okay!
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today! SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance, just in case the Chupacabra comes.
Ay, 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 le Chupacabra!
Now, what do you think of the draft? I think America wants new leadership. New leadership. What kind of leadership do you suggest? I suggest a wizard. A what? A wizard, like Merlin, who could kill his enemies by wishing them dead. That's the way we'd like to beat communism now, by wishing it dead. The manufacturer wants more war orders and lower taxes. Labor wants more consumer products in a 30-hour week. The college boy wants a stronger army and a deferment for himself. The businessman wants a bigger Air Force and a new Cadillac. The housewife wants security and an electric dishwasher.
They're kind of weird, aren't they?
Everybody wants a strong America, and we all want the same man to pay for it. George. Let George do it.
Ah, I disagree with you. I don't want to let George do it.
You must be the exception.
No, I'm George.
Well, that's a hot one.
Everyone wants George to do it.
Except George.
Hello?
Okay, we're
here.
We're back.
We just had a little bit of a cut-out touch. It must have been Elon Musk's new thing.
Right.
Cut us out there temporarily. So.
Right, because this is Freedomizer Radio. They don't like that stuff.
Right. So, when we're talking about splitting the state into three regions, each region would have its own regional governor, and I think I'm just, John alluded to the fact of this already, but I'm going to repeat it. Regional legislator, which is made up of elected senators and assemblymen, and they would be based on regional population. A regional court system, law enforcement system, and public employee system. So, John, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit, or we can bring Rich on and he can join in the conversation too?
I should bring Rich on to join in, but I'll elaborate on it while he's joining. Basically, that's how it works. The regional legislators would meet for 6 weeks a year as the state legislature, so there'd still only be one set of legislators instead of two. And as I said earlier, the governor's powers would be reduced to token, but the regional governors would have all the power. Each of the states' budgets would be separate, and like the only, and we're parking a couple of the more expensive things at the state level unchanged. The pension system would remain at the state level unchanged, and some of the prisons would be owned by either the Montauk or the New York region that exist in upstate New York, because most of the prisoners don't come from upstate, so that would allow them to keep those jobs open and keep the prisons that hold those people open. And it would give the people, it would give the regions, I think it's 5 years to shift the prisoners, so you have to serve your time in a prison owned by your region. The state university would still be allowed to collect money from an, if you come from downstate to an upstate SUNY, you'd still, the region you came from would still have to pay for it. And like, the amendment itself is over, is almost 30 pages long because of what happened with Staten Island. For those of you that don't know, back in 96 or 7, Staten Island voted to leave New York City and become its own city. And it passed with 60% of the vote and then went to the state legislature to be ratified. And it's still the ratification is still pending.
Wow.
So what we did is once the amendment's passed and submitted to the voters, it's self-implementing. It requires no implementing legislation. That's why it's so long.
So you said the governor would be token. Is that because now legal, so Kathy Hochul will be higher than she already is.
Well, what would happen is the U.S. Constitution requires you have an administrator, but it doesn't require you to give the administrator any power. So that's basically what we're doing. We will have an administrator, but but the administrator has no power. Governors in various states have different levels of power. New York, I believe, gives its governor the most power of any state. There may be in the union. I think the weakest governor is in Louisiana. Texas's governor is not quite as powerful either, but we did a lot of research when we were doing this. But you can give local governments more power, and that's what an autonomous region is. So, and local under our plan, the autonomous region laws would supersede the state laws, and we have a whole list of laws that will automatically be transferred to the regional code and deleted from the state code. So then things like the gun laws they just passed would become regional laws and then could be repealed by the regional legislature. Or in the case of New York City, made even more draconian.
Right.
But
they'd have to have somebody to crack down on if it's not the rest of the state. And, you know, and I'm sure that Rich is online now, and I'm sure that he would agree with this statement, Rich, when you have a second, that, you know, New York State is so diverse. And if you talk to anybody, just about anybody out of New York City, except when you get into the major cities like Syracuse and Buffalo, which tend to be more on the liberal side, they don't want the things that New York City provides. You know, they don't want to be part of the tyranny here. Did you want to pick up on that comment, Rich? Just want to welcome
sure.
you to DNC. You're live and nationwide. Rich is also on the board of Divide New York.
And he's the legal counsel for Divide.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. You know, I speak at a lot of our meetings, and, you know, one thing I always point out is that, you know, New York City is a wonderful city if you want to visit a city. Well, maybe not so much right now with the current government, but, you know, in the past, it's a wonderful city if you want to visit a city. And upstate's a wonderful place. But we have no business upstate telling the people in the city how to live. And they have no business telling us how to live because, for the most part, we don't understand each other's way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, to me, is a big part of this movement, is we are burdened with laws and even more than laws, regulations that have no bearing on our lives, that were passed and enacted by people relative to the place that they live. Several years ago, I did a population breakdown. And from Westchester County south is 65% of the population of New York State, in round figures, living on roughly 15% of the land area. So with those numbers in mind, from north of Westchester, we have virtually no say. We have nothing, it doesn't matter what we want to a large degree. But no, our lives are so diverse from their lives and the understanding on both parts. And this is why we are getting people from New York City involved with us for the same reason. They don't want to be burdened with us, we don't want to be burdened with them.
You know, and this is a problem that they've got nationwide too. If you know, and it's not uncommon what you said about the population versus the landmass that they inhabit. You know, say for instance, you got rid of the Electoral College. If that were the case, then 17 cities would decide who would be the president, and
absolutely.
You know, one would be New York City. Probably not Buffalo. You know, I don't think it's one of the 17 largest.
No.
But, you know, this problem where a city is ruling the whole state, and ruling is, I think, the proper word.
Sure.
You know, it's going on in Chicago and Illinois, with Denver and Colorado, with Northern Virginia and Virginia. You know, it's happening all over.
You know, some years ago, for a short period of time, I was hired to work with the Divide California movement, which has been going on for something like 70 or 80 years.
Wow.
And I was hired briefly. I wasn't retained because our thoughts were too divergent. But they are what John addressed earlier. They are one that's trying to divide. I think it was the Jeff movement I was working with was called Jefferson, I think. And you know, they're trying to divide into separate states, which will never happen. So you know, it's just as a constitutional matter, it won't happen. Period. It, on paper, it's a possibility. In reality, it's you know. It's less than a dream and a prayer.
Yep.
But yes,
right.
You know, and I have often said this to people who tell me they want to get rid of the Electoral College, same thing you just said. That would place the control of our nationwide elections, presidential elections, into the hands of a very small area of the country. And certainly not what the founders had envisioned.
No, no. You know, and part of the problem that I've got with is here in Western New York, with a congressional primary, there was $1.5 million spent on by each candidate. You know, so that's $3 million spent for a congressional primary. You know, the founding fathers had envisioned citizen legislators. Now all of a sudden, it's the richest man wins, and then you're beholden to all your donors.
That's, you know, I mean, look, for a long time here, where I live, our congressman was Amo Houghton. And nothing against Amo personally. Amo, at the time, the entire time he was in Congress, was the richest member of Congress. His family owns Corning Glass.
Ah.
And,
well, that makes,
you know, Amo was a Republican, as far as I was concerned, in name only. Amo actually used to take my calls because he'd say, "Hey, Rich, good to hear from you again. What's the problem?" But no, this has become, we've become ruled by wealthy people. And what's even more amazing about that is people who go to federal government often don't start out wealthy, but somehow they end up mega wealthy by the time they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, that's because they don't, you know, they can engage in insider trading. You know, the whole
yep.
gang that were around in, 2013 when they passed Obamacare, they knew it was going to happen. They became millionaires overnight. So they knew who to invest in. The rest of us were clueless. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen or how long they were going to discuss it or how little they were going to discuss it. Yeah, so that's the problem, you know, another one of the problems, and you see that going around, you know, that the lawmakers should have to abide by the same laws that they pass for the rest of us. You know, since
you
when
think.
Did they pass?
If I may segue back to what you were talking about earlier about with the gun legislation, we do a lot of stuff jointly with SCOPE. Are you familiar with SCOPE?
Yes.
All right. We do a lot of stuff jointly with them, a lot of meetings. I speak at a lot of their meetings. I'll be speaking at, I think, two of them in the next month. And I've seen other speakers, even at SCOPE meetings, misrepresent what just happened in New York to a lot of sensationalism. What amazes me about what just happened here is the Supreme Court tells the state of New York, your laws are overly burdensome, in a nutshell, right? So
right.
What does the state of New York do? They say, okay, we'll eliminate these laws and then enact even more burdensome laws to limit people in their constitutional rights. And again, you know, this is a lot about what is perceived, what our illustrious governor, is for our safety. Because as we all know, it's the people who go through the trouble of getting the legal permit to carry legally, we're the ones that are the problem. We're the ones that are out shooting up, bodegas in Brooklyn and whatever. So, you know, we do a lot of work with Scope. We have similar objectives in a lot of the laws. You know, a lot of the speaking I do with Scope, I get a lot of, you know, questions, not just about guns, but about the divide. You know, I speak about the Divide New York movement, and I'm often left, you know, I have a PhD in the Constitution, by the way, so I'm often asked to speak about these constitutional issues. And it's going to come back. It's going to come back soon. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the actions, I'll be surprised if one of the actions in the state courts doesn't lead to a federal judge enjoining the state from enforcing these new laws, because they are, in fact, far more burdensome than the laws that were removed are or were.
Yeah, and they're far more unconstitutional. In a sense, what Hochul did was do a slap in the face of the Supreme Court of the United States. Unfortunately, you have to have a lawsuit in order to get rid of this stuff. You know, you, me, anybody should be able to write a letter to a judge, say this is unconstitutional, the judge look at it and say, you know, gosh darn it, you are right, it is constitutional. It shouldn't take years and years in court and millions of dollars in lawyer fees to have that done. You should, you know, any citizen should be able to write to any judge, say this is unconstitutional, and the judge say, you know, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, theoretically, I agree, but that would, in other areas, it would open up an unbelievable burden to the courts. With everybody writing in for everything that they're annoyed with. So it's what we have now, and I don't have a problem dealing with it because I know we're going to be victorious in the end. And I think that what the state legislators, you know, some states went the other way and said, oh boy, we're open now, and they were happy with it. Other states like New York are, you know, trying to overly burden the system, and what it's likely to lead to ultimately, hopefully not 10 years from now, is the Supreme Court deciding that we have interstate recognition of permits, and that's going to shoot down all this crap. It's amazing to me that having a driver's license is a privilege, not a right, yet states are compelled to give, you know, credence to other states' driver's licenses. Having the right to carry and bear arms is a constitutional right, yet states are free to ban other states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York recognizes no other state, not one.
Nope.
And, 25 of the 50 states now have what's called constitutional carry. So you walk into do your NICS test, you know, which is the FBI, 20 questions. They call up, 5 minutes later, you're walking out with a pistol. You throw it in your belt, put your coat over it, and you're walking around with it, no permit required. And there are states are constitutional carry states.
I have a Pennsylvania permit as well as a New York, and the Pennsylvania permit took all of about 15 minutes.
Right.
You do the paperwork, they run your background check, they hand you the permit.
Yep.
Simple. But, you know, this is an issue which is big with upstate New Yorkers. Yeah, it's big with a lot of people in the city as well, but it's bigger with upstate New Yorkers because, you know, I live in Schuyler County. Schuyler County, 58% of the adults in Schuyler County have concealed carry permits. The only crime we have here is meth labs. People with uninsured cars reporting them as stolen when they get into an accident. But other than that, you know, we don't have crime here, you know? And nobody gets shot either.
Yep.
But everybody has a permit.
So when we're going back to just talking about divide, because I know that people want to hear a lot about the benefits of divide. 70 to 80% of this the unfunded state mandates, which you know pretty much result in our high property taxes, right? So I want to talk about how these unfunded mandates could be switched, for better words, if we were to split the state.
Well, that's
John. Do you? Sorry.
Oh, sure. I can handle that one easily. What it is we did a lot of research on the unfunded mandates. Most of them only add a few cents to your property tax, but there's over probably close to 10,000 of them. One that's super expensive is the state shifts the Medicaid burden to the counties. They shift 50% of the state's Medicaid burden to the counties, and that goes on the property tax. For school districts, the most expensive one is they have to conduct their own elections, which instead of having the state board of elections and the county boards conduct their elections for them. So for the average school district, that costs $500,000. Some of the bigger ones it costs more, some of the smaller ones less, but that's a lot. But a lot of them, so what we do on unfunded mandates in the amendment is we say that they expire after 10 years or when the amendment takes effect, unless they're repassed by the legislature by a 3/5 vote of both houses, the regional legislature I'm talking about now, not the state. And if you know anything about legislators, getting 3/5 of them to agree on the time of day is kind of difficult. It does happen occasionally, but it has to be something really simple. The last time I remember a bill passing the state legislature unanimously was quite a few years ago, when we still had thruway toll collectors. They were forcing ambulances to pay the toll to go through the toll collector booth.
Pathetic.
And apparently one of the people that got stopped at the toll collector booth was somebody in the legislature. So needless to say, that was a unanimously passed bill from both houses that allowed the ambulances to run the toll booths. They could just bypass them from then on. But
yeah, it's amazing when the legislators start getting affected by things, how that could change, right?
Right, definitely. But the mandates in my county, Albany County, unfunded mandates from the state, takes the entire property tax of the county and 2% of its 4% sales tax. The county runs on a 2% sales tax, plus any fees it can hit on people for various things.
100% of
all the rest just goes to pay unfunded mandates for the state.
Yeah, 100% of the taxes in Erie County, which is on the opposite end of the state. When people talk about New York State and you say you're from New York State, they automatically assume you're from New York City. And that's so far, we're literally 8 hours from there. Eight to 10 hours, depending on how many times you stop. And, you know, Erie County has the highest property taxes and the highest taxes in the nation, even some areas of California.
Yeah, I remember when we played the Redskins in one of the Super Bowls back in the 90s, and I'm pretty sure I saved it, they had an interesting article in the Buffalo News that, I canceled my subscription probably 20 years ago, about contrasting Buffalo and Washington, D.C., and one of the facts that they had is that we're actually closer to Washington, D.C. than we are to New York City.
So, discussing are the benefits in moving on if this were to happen? And then I, after we come back from our second commercial break, I want to talk about how we get people involved in doing this. Because one of the biggest things I hear all the time is, why hasn't this divide happened? You know, why, what are you guys doing? The board members don't do anything. You guys don't do anything. That's so far removed from the truth. And we're going to talk about how we're going to get people involved and what you can do, because the people are the ones that have to take the action, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to go back to a little bit more of upstate benefits and if and when this divide happens, what the benefits are to New York State. And I'm actually reading on our trifold right now. And it's no secret, Dean and I are the Western New York area leaders for the divide movement. So, you know, we kind of know a little bit about this, not as much as John and Rich do. But we, you know, we've been working at this together for well over a year now. And, you know, some of the benefits of splitting off from New York City into three regions, the first one that we list is term limits for every elected state office. So we're not going to have lifetimers anymore if this happens, which means, guess what, mm-hmm. Brian Higgins? Hi.
Yeah, Chucky.
Who,
well,
you know,
there's no term limits currently in the amendment because we didn't think it could pass, but it would be more likely to pass in the region thereafter we become it.
And it would have no effect on federal elections.
It has no effect on the federal level at all, no. That allows us to bypass Congress.
And, you know,
the major benefit would be allowing counties to cut their property taxes because of the limits on unfunded mandates. If upstate were run either on the Pennsylvania or Vermont model, we could cut the income tax in half and still have lower property taxes and still balance our budget, because we wouldn't have all these other red tape things that make things so expensive.
Yeah, and from what I heard, and I think it was from you guys, that, you know, right now, New York City, you know, they've decimated the economy in upstate so badly that they send us about $1.3 billion a year, so our budgets are not the same as the state's. However,
correct.
We split off from the state, just fracking alone. The taxes on fracking alone would more than make that up. Plus, you know, it would bring back farming, all sorts of small business. Our biggest export right now is our young people, and, you know, we'd be able to have jobs for them.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, the fracking ban is very personal to me. I have a farm here. It's a working farm. The fracking ban cost me about $500,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I could have paid off my student loans.
So now you just get forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
You get. I mean, if you're an illegal, you get everything. You know, that's another thing we can do, right? If we were to split up, we don't have to let all these illegals keep coming in and giving them everything for free.
You know, what I don't understand is, you know, the sanctuary cities, that's contrary to federal law. All the federal
Absolutely.
Government get a backbone and say, okay, you want to be a sanctuary city? We're cutting your federal funding. How about that?
They could do that.
Yep, something has to be done. New York City wants to welcome these people with open arms and wants to give them voting rights besides.
It's a side issue, but it is an issue in that a lot of the things they do hurts. One of the reasons people in New York City are supporting us is because the state runs the Metropolitan Transit Authority currently, and the trains constantly fail. And one of the reasons they fail is so funny, if it wasn't so pathetic, that, and it's so memorable too. Are you familiar with what a wee poll is?
I've heard of it.
Well, a lot of windows have them. They're small little drainage holes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wee poles. Yes. Siding has it, too. Vinyl siding.
Well, what happens is the wee pole is basically in the third rail of the tracks, because Boston and New York uses the old-fashioned third rail. All other electric trains have the above-grade, hangs-over-the-train electricity. Amtrak uses that through New York City. It doesn't use the third rail. But to make it work, they put in these little repoles that drain the system and keep the water from shorting out the circuit. They used to have maybe 2,000 people, maybe not more like 1,000 people. Their job was they walked the line when the trains weren't running with a little metal pipe and pushed the hole down and cleaned out the weep holes. To save money, they didn't replace those guys when they retired. I'll say guys because most of them were guys. Some of them might have been women. But so long story short, the holes clogged up. So if you have one circuit that shorts out when you get water in there, that's not a big deal because the train is traveling at a speed. It will pick up the next circuit. When you get 10 or more circuits that are all shorted out at the same time, the train gets stuck underground and then has to be towed out. Plus, since they haven't been maintained, weep holes are tiny. How do you find them now to clean them?
Yeah, you pay some huge consulting fees to come back.
Well, I think by now, because they've let it slide for over 20 years, I suspect most of those people would not be in shape to come back. In any event, but it's just, that's why New York City has, some of the problems New York City have are state generated. Bail reform was state generated. And now it's not safe on certain trains to ride them anymore. We have all these problems upstate, and New York City has different problems. And if we had autonomous regions, we could each govern ourselves. We could address our own problems, and we wouldn't be interfering with everybody's problem. And with the three regions, no region will have a majority of the population, because New York City is just a little below the majority. Upstate has a lot of people, has about 7 or 8 million people. And Westchester, Rockland, and Long Island would have about 4. And New York City is just a little below 8 now. So it's basically, it's a win for all three regions. The only one that would lose is who's ever the governor at the time, because their power would disappear. One of the ironies on why this might come up this year is the state has a, I think it's, last I heard it was a $15 billion deficit that isn't going to be fully bailed out by the Build Back Better bill, or, I'm sorry, now it's the Inflation and Reduction Act, I think they changed the name to.
Yeah.
But in any event, it won't be fully bailed out from that. Plus, that doesn't include the deficit on the unemployment insurance. But by now, I'm guessing you're pretty close to your commercial, right?
Yep, yeah. We are. So we're going to hold on, guys, and we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Yep, we'll be back in 4 minutes. D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Hang tight, guys.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So he wants to work for the IRS. Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worsening heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Hey everyone, Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBareFaceIsLegal.org.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal. But it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say, or they quote the myth and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Okay, we are back.
So, talk a little bit about more of the benefits of dividing, and then a couple of questions we got, and then talk about how people get involved for our last 20 minutes. So some more benefits of dividing that are written in our trifold, and you can find all of this stuff on the website also, dividenY.org. Everything's on there. It's laid out in black and white. We're talking about the reform of our court system and the correction of the current bail system. Now, that would be huge.
Yeah.
You guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yes.
Okay, good. You guys want to comment on that?
Basically, the reform of our court system, we would have a regional superior court that would be over the courts. The boundaries would be adjusted a bit. The Court of Appeals would still exist to hear some cases because we're required to have a court at the top level over the, but it wouldn't have as much jurisdiction as it currently does now. Hopefully we could get the legislature, regional legislature, to allow us to have more judges, which is really the problem. What happens now is the state legislature has to authorize judges. So a lot of more judges are often authorized in New York City, but they're not authorized upstate when there's a backlog of cases. So that would hopefully solve that problem.
Sounds reasonable. Then we would be redistributing the electoral college votes.
Redistribution.
I wish we could, but it doesn't affect anything on the federal level.
Right. Okay. So
yeah. As I heard one of you guys say one time, a lot of this stuff, like term limits and things like that, it's kind of like getting a divorce where you negotiate all the details after you decide to split up. And that's what some of these benefits are.
Yeah, okay. And especially I think this one really would hit home with a lot of taxpayers. The education reform to return school budgets and policies to local control. It's out of control.
Right. It would have a meaningful school budget vote that would actually control the taxes now on a meaningful... What's the problem with the current school budget aid formula is if you've ever tried to read it, it's not comprehensible. I don't believe the education department even fully understands it. They take their best guess out of what each school district will get out of the formula, and it's very rare that a judge will call them on it because it's too incomprehensible. What has basically happened with the school formula is rather than delete parts of it, they've just added parts over time. So it's very hard to say what applies and what doesn't apply in a given school district. They take their best guess. And the other part of it is a simple fix that for some reason they've never done. Each school district's aid is based partially on its income tax revenue in that school district. The more income tax that comes from your school district, the less state aid you get. The assumption is that if the people have more money, they have more valuable properties that can be taxed and the like. But the problem is they don't edit when people put their school district in on their state tax form to make sure it's the correct school district. You could just compare a 9-digit zip code and you'd know immediately whether that particular person lives in a in a certain school district. So if you have a school district like that's named for the town you're in, and there's another school district that has half the town that has a different name, a lot of people without kids just write their town name in for the school district. So that throws everything off. Their income is counted in that town name school district's thing and reduces their state aid. And it raises the state aid of the district they're in because they're not their income isn't counted against that district.
Yeah, so like the town of Cheektowaga has five school districts, believe it or not. One town, five school districts. That's, you know, that's crazy.
That's not that uncommon a scenario. We, New York State does it uniquely on school districts. Most states, a school district is the same of either a town, city, or down south, it's usually on the county level. But New York State school districts are totally independent of cities, towns, and school districts. Some of them have the same boundaries as a city for a city school district, but often they don't. And some cities have more than one school district in them. Like the city of Troy, for example, has this Troy School District and the Lansingburg School District. So it's a very interesting system we have. I was told once, maybe Rich could confirm that or not, was that because we inherited the school district system from Dutch law?
That I don't know. I'm not up on Dutch law. In my county, there's five school districts, only two of which are solely in this county. The other three, one of them covers areas of three counties, and the other two cover areas of two counties. So the rural areas are affected, you know, severely differently.
So we have some emails that we want to get to before we run out of time here. So Michelle from Buffalo, New York, sent us an email. Dear Diana and Dean, my property taxes are out of control, and I barely can afford to keep myself above water anymore, period. If we divide, how can my property taxes be more affordable?
Okay, the first thing is we have a clause in the amendment that restricts unfunded mandates, which is what raises property taxes to that amount. The other thing she can look into on our website, we have how to challenge your assessment, because a lot of property owners are misassessed. So she might be able to lower some of her taxes that way. The formula also shows you when you shouldn't challenge it, when you're actually underassessed. Even though your taxes may be out over the roof, your property can theoretically be underassessed. So we show you how to tell that so you wouldn't challenge it and get your property taxes increased even more. It's a very simple process, but it is time-consuming to challenge property tax assessments. The more people that read it, they'll be able to go in and challenge it effectively.
Okay.
I've challenged mine 5 or 6 times.
Advice. So we have an email here from Dave in Westchester County. And he says, Dear respected Divide Board and Divide Board members, I have an issue with the Green New Deal and all of these new windmills that are popping up in New York State, along with the solar panels. If we divide the state, is this something that can be rectified?
That would be at the option of the regional legislature if they wanted to address that any differently than it currently is. One thing I wanted to point out that we didn't get time earlier is we need people to contact their town boards and city councils and ask them to pass resolutions supporting us, because New York State has a very unusual constitution, to put it mildly. It doesn't have a statewide right of petition for its people, but it does have a municipal home rule. So that can create obligations in legislators to become co-sponsors of a bill if a legal home rule resolution is passed. It's very complicated. It is explained on our local action part on our website, which is www.divideny.org. Once again, that's www.divideny.org.
Okay. And we have one more question here, if you could answer it, from April in Corning, New York. And I just lost the email. It just literally, oh, there it is. April from Corning, New York says, as embarrassed as I am to admit that I am on Medicaid, I want to know if we divide, what will happen to my Medicaid?
Medicaid is a federal program, so it will not change that much. The only thing that will change under the amendment is the regional government will assume the Medicaid, the county share of the Medicaid payments. So the other things will not change because it's a federal program.
Okay.
Okay. And
if I might interject for that woman who just wrote that email in Corning, on I think it's September 19th, Brian, another board member, and myself will be speaking at the SCOPE meeting in Bath on the evening of the 19th. So, you know, she might want to consider attending that.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty close to there. So we have about 7 minutes left, and I think what Dean and I want to do for the listeners now, and thank you to everybody who emailed in. It would be fun if you guys would call in once in a while. But what we'd like to do is discuss on how people can get active in their community to make this happen.
Well, you know, first of all,
come to our annual meeting.
September 10th, we have a meeting. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, at the Quality Inn in Batavia, we're having our annual meeting at 1:30 p.m. That's for the whole state. We have one every year, and then we also have local meetings. So a lot of information will be available there for people. And it's just off the throughway. And once again, if you go to our website, www.divideny.org, it has all the details.
Okay, great, great. And that's from 1:30 until 5:30 on September 10th in Batavia?
Correct.
Okay, okay, good.
Okay, so if we want to just briefly touch on, for people that are listening, on how they would get involved, because this is a movement that people in their individual towns and cities have to be involved in. We can't go out to every town and city in New York State and present this home rule resolution to them. So just give a little synopsis quickly of how they would be involved and what it entails. And actually, it's a lot simpler than it sounds.
Do you want to take that, Rich, or do you want me to?
Please take it, John.
Okay. What basically it involves is you ask the... We have a sample home rule resolution on the local action site. You go to either your county board or your town or city board and ask them to pass a home rule resolution. And if the resolution is passed by them, they then have to transmit it to their legislators to make it binding. And that obligates the legislators to either co-sponsor it or sponsor it. It doesn't obligate them to vote for it, unfortunately, but it does obligate them to do that. What we discovered in doing research is a lot of resolutions have been passed over the years, but none of them were, for the most part, we haven't been able to find, other than for us, anybody who's passed a home rule resolution that was actually a home rule resolution, because the second part is always left off. You have to transmit it to the legislators. And because it's an old constitution and there's been no court ruling to allow email, it has to be transmitted by certified U.S. mail. Other than that, there's no difference. That's why a lot of people don't realize all those scope resolutions that were passed and the like in the past, none of them were transmitted. So they just became non-binding resolutions instead of home rule resolutions. And the resolution just has to have a phrase in this, in it stating that it's a home rule resolution. Those are the two things that separate a home rule resolution from a non-binding resolution. It has to be transmitted, and it has to have a phrase in it that says home rule.
Okay.
Very good. So, in other words, we need people to go out and ask their towns and their city.
Right. We have to get people to do that. They can get more information by either coming to the annual meeting in Batavia or coming to one of our many minor meetings.
Okay. Very good. And everything's on the website. The website is great. It details everything.
And what I noticed is, you know, it's really important for the citizens of these towns and counties to get out and do it because, you know, Diana and I could go to a town that we don't live in and they don't want to listen to us because we're not their, you know, they don't represent us. Let's put it that way. We're not their subjects. you know, same with at the county level. If we go to a different county, they don't want to hear us. They want to hear people from their own county that they represent.
Yeah.
So it's really important for people to come out and get involved in the movement and help us out in every little town and county in the state.
Yeah. We want to thank both of you for being on tonight and representing Divide New York. We're going to wrap up the show for tonight. So special guest next week, Sandy Mangiano. She's running for the 142nd District. For Assembly, she's going to be on telling us why Pat Burke needs to retire. And following week, Senator Rob Ort will be on.
Right. Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort, New York State Senator, good friend.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got really a really exciting show at the end of the month. Pinup Girls for a Cause are going to be on. They're going to tell us about their organization. And we're already booked into October, so you can check out our events on our Facebook page. Guys, it was great having you on tonight. We will have this podcast on Apple Radio, iHeartRadio, FreedomizerRadio.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. We'll be sure to send you the link so you can share it, and we'll be sure to send it on to our Facebook page so that our listeners can re-listen to it. Thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Dean, take it
Have a good weekend.